Matthew chapter number 6. We started a series several months ago, and we're going to get back into it, maybe finish it up. The Sermon on the Mount, and it was Jesus' guidelines to those very first Christians when he was starting his church. And this was preached to Christians, not non-Christians, and he's telling them how to live. Probably the greatest sermon ever preached, and it was just preached in probably under 10 minutes. And so Matthew chapter number 6, we're going to speak on this subject today, seeking first real treasures. Seeking first real treasures. And let's look down, if you will. We're in Matthew 6 and looking down into verse 19. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to turn it on vibrate or on mute, that would be a big help. Matthew 6 and looking down in verse number 19. I'll read aloud if you'd like to just follow along. And it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Some of you say, "Well, I qualify. I ain't got anything." Well, good. Look at that. This isn't even speaking to you, I guess. He says, "Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Someone says, "What would Jesus know about riches? I thought he was born in a stable." The Bible says, "He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." Just figured I'd interject that. And verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single," it's talking about generous, "thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil," that means stingy, "thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That "cannot" is only used a couple of times by Jesus in Scripture. He said, "If you're not born again, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then he says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon actually means that in which one trusts. You could actually put it in modern vernacular, money. You cannot serve God and money. One will be your master. You cannot split it. And let's keep going. Verse 25. So he's talking about treasure. Now he talks about thoughts. So they both start with T. Verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." He's talking about worrying. "What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on," clothing. "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not," in other words, they don't farm, "neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Jesus is telling us. He said during the inflation, I think the White House recently announced there is no inflation. So make sure that you believe what the White House puts out there. And so prices have not really gone up. It's just our imagination. But God is saying during the inflation, he says, "I'll still feed you." Amen. "And I'll still make sure you have clothes to put on." Amen. "You may have to cut down to 7 Starbucks a week, but I'll get you through." Then he keeps going, verse 27. "Which of you, by taking thought or worry, can add one cubit to his stature?" He's saying if you're short and you worry about that, you're not going to get any taller. I mean, look at me. I've worked at it for years, and I haven't gotten any taller. Verse 28, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field." Look at the flowers, how they grow. "They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. In other words, if God makes flowers beautiful that just last a few days, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father, clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, notice all the times he says, your heavenly Father. Now, let me encourage you today, just by way of introduction. If you're saved, it changes everything. Because you have a heavenly Father that makes sure his kids eat. And he's going to make sure you have clothes. He's going to make sure he takes care of you. He loves you more than earthly mother and father could ever love you. So Jesus is just reminding them, hey, you're worried about these things. You know, your heavenly Father's pretty wealthy. He's got deep pockets, and he is a giver. And then notice one of our text verses, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, shelter, shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't be thinking too much about tomorrow. There'll be plenty of problems waiting for you tomorrow. He said, let's just kind of focus on today. So I want to speak on this subject, how to seek first all the real treasures. Father, bless the next few minutes we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus tells the story in one of the other Gospels. He talks about a man that's in a field. And somehow, it's almost like the old-timer, you'll get this, new-timers won't. The Beverly Hillbillies, you remember Jed? He shoots the shotgun and oil starts coming up. I've tried that a lot of times. I've shot holes in our property. Nothing comes up. But, you know, all of a sudden, now he's a millionaire. It just came bubbling up. So this guy finds treasure in a field. He knows how much it's worth. He goes, sells everything he has, buys the property. Why? To get that treasure. All the way home, he's thinking about that treasure. All day long, he's thinking about that treasure. His mind is filled with that treasure he now has. And I want to say this. If you're a child of God, you have the greatest treasure you could ever have. The greatest treasure you could ever have. See, Christianity, we are rich. You may look at some people on television, the pro baseball players that are only making $440 million in their contract. And the pro football players and the MMA wrestlers and the boxers and the movie stars and a $10 million engagement ring. And you look at all that and say, how rich they are. But if you're here today and you're saved, you're rich. Amen. If you've got Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven, you are rich. If you have a copy of the Bible in your language, you are rich. If you live in America and woke up today on American soil, though we got all kind of problems, you are rich. If you have an education and you can read and write, you are rich. If you've got a good friend, you are rich. If you've got a church to go to within driving distance, you are rich. We're all rich compared to others. You say, well, what is the real treasure, Pastor, that God's talking about? The real treasure in the Christian life is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Our relationship with him, he loves us. He cares about us. He knows all about us, but still loves us as is. Our second treasure, I'm skipping half the message, is a place. We're on our way to heaven. We're not staying here. I just don't know if I could live in America the rest of my life. You may not have to. There's going to be a trumpet sound. And we're leaving all the politics and all the crime and all the hatred and all the terrorist attacks and the diseases. We're going to leave it all behind. Because we're going to be walking on streets of gold not too many months or weeks or days or hours from now. You're wealthy. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. When I moved here 36 years ago, many of you had black hair. Many of you had little kids. Now the little kids are your grandkids. There was no stoop to the shoulders. And you were in prime of health. And now it's kind of the snow-topped years. Or the Clairol years. We were at the hospital and my wife had, I probably shouldn't say this, but some of her gray was coming out. She doesn't have gray hair. I was telling the nurses, I said, my wife is 64 and does not have one gray hair. They said, whoo. I said, that she doesn't dye. But there was a time where you didn't have to dye it. There was a time where some of you men used to have hair. But up there, we'll never grow old. We'll have a body that never ages. We're not going to spend millions of dollars trying to look younger. We'll be younger for all eternity. Our treasure is a person. It's Jesus Christ. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, gave his life for you, rose again, wants to spend eternity with you, has invited you to come, spend the night at his house. And there's no night there, so it's eternal day. You have a place. What are the riches? Someone said, they looked it up, 15% of Jesus' words dealt with treasure in the Bible. There's a big connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about money and things and how we handle it. I don't know if you've ever put on a shirt real fast and somehow you had more tail at one side than the other. Maybe you did like Hiram did in one of those books. He just cut the shirt tail and evened it up. What it is, you got the first button wrong. When you hit the first button wrong, life doesn't work out. So this whole passage, Jesus is talking about money. Then he talks about worry. And then he talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's saying when you get your priorities mixed up, you got to unbutton it and get that first button right. You get the first button right, it stops you from worrying. It gets you investing in heaven instead of just here on the earth, and the things work out. It's interesting. It was John the Baptist preaching, and at the end of the sermon, three groups of people said, so what should we do? He looked at the soldiers and said, be content with your wages. He looked at the publicans and said, don't demand more than what the people owe you. He looked, I think, to the scribes and he says, and give to the poor. They didn't ask that question. They just said, what should we do? But Jesus gave all three answers dealing with finances. Nothing's wrong with having finances, but we need to have a loose grip on it. That's why God gives us five fingers so you can let it go between your fingers. You didn't know that, huh? Okay. Man, evolution. I thought we just had a palm. No, that's why you evolved into fingers. Jim Elliot, the famous missionary that gave his life to reach the cannibals, the Aucca Indians, said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. It was Zacchaeus coming down the tree. He just gave his heart to Christ. As he's coming down the tree, he says, and Lord, I'm giving half my income to the poor. It was something. By the time Christ saved him, he started thinking about finances. It's only mentioned once, but in Acts 20, verse 35, it's not mentioned in the Gospels, the word of Jesus. He says this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I like that old song, I have something that money can't buy. I have a rainbow beyond the blue sky. I have a life that I'll live till I die. I have the Lord, a rich man am I. People may say that I'm dreaming a bit, but I like what I'm believing and I'm not gonna quit. Oh, the good book says that I'll live when I die. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. You know, that's what Bill Gates is looking for right now. Him and Melinda right now have signed the billionaire motto or the billionaire agreement that they'll give away most of their money before they die, because even billions does not satisfy the emptiness in a person's heart. Warren Buffet or Warren Buffett, however you want to say his name. I like Buffet. The wealthy man says, I have found that riches do not make me happy. I'm going to give it all away before I die. Several statements about our treasure. One, my heart always goes where I give. It always goes where I give. Number two, God did not say don't store up treasures on earth because it's bad. He said don't store up just treasures on earth because they won't last. Not it might or it will. It will always be lost. We will lose all of our possessions either while we are alive or when we die. But we're leaving it all behind. That was Solomon's dilemma. Richest man in the Bible. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, it's killing me. He says, everything I have, another guy's going to get. They're going to get yours too. You know, one day maybe we'll get on the church buses and we'll go to the city dump. That'll be our field trip. And we're going to see a washer and a dryer that someone had to have. We're going to see cars that people had to have. And we're going to see all their stuff. It all ends up in the dump. I was with Jerry Pertell years ago, and he's this wild man, wild evangelist. He's kind of outspoken. We were at a Chinese restaurant years ago in downtown Vallejo, Szechuan's, before they closed. And they had this rock and roll group that had just pulled up on these million-dollar buses. They had cameras on the bus, the name of their group, I forget, Beatles or somebody. And they had just pulled up. The group was getting off the bus, and Pertell just couldn't be quiet. He looked at the bus, pointed and said, it's going to burn. I don't know if it encouraged them any, but I told my wife, I said, when I die, I don't want to be buried. Nate, I've already figured that out. I don't want to be buried. Don't want to be in the ground. I don't want to be cremated. I want to be taxidermied. I told my wife I want to just put me up right over the fireplace and put those movable eyes in me so I can just kind of see who she remarries. And I want to see what he's doing with my stuff. Speaking of Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not criticizing her, can you imagine if you were in the Confederate, and most of you school kids, you wouldn't understand, it's not your fault. They don't teach you history anymore. But in the Confederate Union War, the Civil War, where the states were divided and fighting against each other, there was a time where it looked like the South was going to lose. So all their Confederate currency would be worth nothing. If you would have known when that peace treaty would have been signed and the war ended, you would have taken all your Confederate currency and swapped it in for the Union currency because you had inside information. Guess what? We're the insiders. We've got inside information in the Bible. What's here on this world, it's not going to last. What people spend their lives chasing, it's not going to last. But God says what you lay up in heaven, that will last. You say, what are you talking about, that what you lay up in heaven? Your giving, your service, souls that you lead to Christ. My daddy's in heaven right now. What's that worth? I will see my dad for all eternity. What is that worth? Can you put a price tag on that? My mother's 92. She's not doing well. She's in the hospital. Fell. Had a hip surgery. Not doing well. I don't know how close she is, but I've got a treasure. My mama's saved. She's forgiven. She's going to walk the streets of gold. I'll spend eternity with her. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead to heaven. Your return will be minimum 100 times. My dad used to sell earthworms. Long story. I'm not going to go into it. Ask me later. It sounds crazy. Earthworms in 6 weeks would double in number. Every 6 weeks. He said, I didn't know that. We'll just watch one. Every 6 weeks. So if you're doubling your money in 6 weeks, that's pretty good return. There's no bank that'll give you that. No CD, no IRA, nothing. But Jesus said this, any man that leaves mother, father, houses, lands for my sake and the gospel's shall receive 100-fold, not only in this lifetime, but the lifetime to come. That's pretty good return. I give $100 to missions. God says, well, it's 10,000 up in heaven. What else you want? You say, there's money up in heaven? I doubt it. But there's some type of reward. I know that for sure. Giving is not a luxury for the rich, but a privilege for the poor. Everyone can give. Years ago, and I must hasten, I'll get to the conclusion. Years ago, and I said this during the missions conference, our missionary to Uganda, Brother Stensis, Brian Stensis, stood up and he said, we're reaching the Ugandans. He said 60% are dying of AIDS. Some are not strong enough to crawl to our church, but they can listen on a radio. He said, we want to have a radio broadcast. We can broadcast to 5 million people, but we need a tower. I stopped him right in the middle of the sermon. I sat right here. I said, how much is the tower? He said, $1,300. I said, I'll give the first $300. Someone said, I'll give two. I'll give one. I'll give one. And in like 10 seconds, it was all paid for. People were angry. They didn't get their hand up in time. We built the radio tower where 5 million Ugandans could hear how to go to heaven. He told the story. He was in the jungle there, and someone said, Brother Stensis, come preach at our church. No white man's ever been to our village. He said, well, how do you have a church? No missionary's ever been to our village. He said, well, how do you have a church if there's no missionary? Just follow us. He came into their village, and they had a little lean-to hut. They said, that's our church. He said, okay. He walked inside. It was all open. They had a stump and a radio on top of the stump. And they said, we want you to meet our pastor. And they're pointing to the radio. His name's Brian Stensis. Brother Stensis said, I'm Brian Stensis. They said, we heard the gospel on the radio. Our village got saved. We started a church. We listen to you every Sunday morning. You know where that started? Right here. Right here. How do you put a price tag on that? Some people built a tower and there's people going to heaven because someone gave and they put some treasure up in heaven. Several statements. My heart always goes where I give. Giving breaks the bondage of things that are ruling you. You do not get your self-worth from what you possess, but from who possesses you. So notice how Jesus concludes this. Verse 33, so he talks about our treasure. Then he talks about our worrying or our thoughts. Okay, let's stop. Okay, let me relate. Who at some time has ever bought a new car? Maybe someone gave it to you, but it was real new for you and the best you ever had. And all of a sudden, it's like when you bring it to church, you want to park like 9 spots away from everybody. You ever been there? And then you pull into Walmart and you say, who's going to dent my car first? You might as well just take one of those buggies and just dent it and get it over with. Because you're afraid of that first scratch, that first, you pull in some old lady and like 100 years old, bang, just, hey, ma'am, it's a new car. And she gets, I mean, what are you going to do? What's it got to do with the sermon? I have no idea. But here it is. But Jesus ends the message. He says, here's your treasure. where you're putting it. Your thoughts, wherever your treasure is, that's what you're going to think about. It's what you're going to worry about. Worrying about someone getting your stuff, someone hurting your stuff, losing your stuff, stock market, invested here, it's down, it's terrible. They trade, the insiders got the money. And then he says, now look, all this revolves around our priorities. What is first in your life? I want to say this to the married couples, or you're almost married. Your mate ought to always feel first. If God is first, the mate ought to also feel like, I know God's first, but I really feel first. That's above job. That's above kids. That's above my kids, their kids, our kids. Mate first. It's got to be the priority. Sometimes a chiropractor, you know, you have headaches, you get all these illnesses. You go to a chiropractor, he goes, L7. Is it L, the back? I don't know. Brother Stewart, you would know. What is it? Oh, okay, it's too many. Okay, H6, all right. And so he goes, this is out of line. And he pushes on one vertebrae, pop, there it is, no more headaches. Sometimes it's one priority out of order causing all the pain in our relationships. How do we put the Lord first? We talk about it. I want God first in my life. What's that look like? Practically, here it is. We're done. He wants to be first in your day. Before all the emails, before all the phone calls, before all this, spend some time with Him. Talk to Him. Listen to Him through His Word. He wants to be first in your day. You say, well, I just kind of spend time with God at the end. You ever fall asleep talking to Him? I have. Dear Lord. He kind of wants the best part of your day. Next, how do you put Him first? What's that look like? First in your week. Sunday. Amen. Sunday. Where's the pastor today? He slept in. He's had a long week. What? Where's the pastor today? It's Super Bowl Sunday. He's tailgate. What? You show the world He's first by showing up to church on Sunday. Give Him the first day of the week. The first day. What's that look like? The first part of your life. Now, I'm for old people. I'm becoming one. But what delights my heart is not a 99-year-old person accepting Christ at a nursing home. What delights my heart is that 6- and 7-year-old child today in Sunday school giving their heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. How come? They have their whole life to give to the Lord. They're not giving Him leftovers. They're not giving Him just the last moments. Years to give Him. I guarantee you, if we could do some osmosis switch, and adults in this room could switch and be the teenagers in this room, there's many of adult that would say, I'll live it all over. I wasted a lot of years. I lived for stuff that's not going to last. I wish I was a teenager again. I wish I was in my 20s. What's it look like putting God first? He's first in your decisions. Well, we're moving to Las Vegas. There's a lot of money there. Now, who told you that? Pastor, I'm buying a winery. Came into an inheritance. I just figured it'd help Napa Valley. Where's that now? You want to make Him first in your decisions. Amen. Pastor, we're opening it's a marijuana place. Farm town? What's it called? I'm not going to mess with you. What? It's by the old Walmart. What's it called? What? I know it's a dispensary, but there's a big one. It's called Farm something. What is it? Farm town. All right, I think I got it. So all the accessories to drugs. So it's a drug store, a real drug store. It's all about drugs. God's not calling you to start one of those. You made me mad, Pastor. My dad owns one. Well, tell him to tithe here, and we'll be. And no, I'm just kidding. Put him first in your plans. You know what I love? Sometimes people, one of our dear families, in church today. They're on a vacation in another state. Pastor, what church should we attend while we're on vacation? You know what they're saying? God's first. Just because I'm in another place on a Sunday, why would I not be in church? I'm not taking a vacation from God. I'm taking a vacation with God.
Amen.
In plans. Quickly, this one too. Relationships. First in your relationship. Lonely girl looking for lonely guy. Please respond. 17 pictures. Close up, please. Want to see what you look like before we continue this relationship. You need to find out first, are you a Christian? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you love God? Do you go to church? You read your Bible? That ought to be how all relationships start. Well, pastor, he's just getting out of prison. I think I can change him. Then we see in verse 34 how it ends in this verse. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient is the evil thereof. When my wife was in the hospital, and I'm hoping she'll get to come next week, but when she was in the hospital, I was the worry wart. We had long talks about this. I said, what were you thinking? You got 6 drains. You have sepsis. You have 3 blood clots. You have a PICC line in your neck. You're on an intubator tube. You cannot get out of bed. Nonstop painkiller. Feeding you through the stomach. Feeding you through IV. What were you thinking? Weren't you afraid? Here's what my wife said, the preacher. No, I just tried to get through that day. I said, that was my problem. I had to come home and worry all night and cry all night. She said, I just figured it'd be another shot. And after that, they'd draw blood. I didn't worry about the whole plan. Just, okay, you need blood. You need this. Another x-ray. A CT scan. You're moving fluid around my lungs. She said, I just took it as it came. Just today. You know, that's why we have Sunday, Monday. Somehow God wanted us to live just today. Look up the word yesterday in the Bible. I think it's 135 times. Look up the word tomorrow. I think it's like 365 times. Look up the word today, and it's 2,600 plus times.
Amen.
God is real interested in, hey, how about you just live today? His brother Bob Stevenson, all of a sudden, I mean, that storm hit him and Lisa fast. They found something on an x-ray on his leg. He's in pain. He goes to the hospital. They said, we think it's cancer. Next thing you know, the leg breaks while he's in the hospital. They do emergency surgery. How in the world can you say, how are we going to get through this? Tell you how they've done it so far. Let's just do today.
Amen.
Let's just do today. And I don't know how long that journey is going to be. It's going to be the rest of his life. We let out too much line. I'll close with this. I have fly fished once. Any fly fishermen? It's just not enough meat on those things. I mean, you got to catch too many to have a meal. But anyway, you know, no, that's the bait. So when you fly fish, you pull out a little line and toss it toward that fish's mouth. A little line and you toss it. You do not do this. You don't pull out all the line on the reel and then try to cast it. You'll have a mess. That's why we worry. Pastor, how are we going to make it through the presidency and the recession and our governor and and this and that and the crime? How are we going to get through today? My marriage, I got issues, and I don't know if she's ever going to follow, and I don't know if he's ever going to leave. How am I going to do it? Just today. My parents don't serve the Lord. I come to church by myself. How am I going to make it? Just today.
Amen.
So God says, let's align our priorities. It'll help us with our treasure. It'll help us with our thoughts. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I just point to the cross. That's where it's at. It's Jesus alone. He's the only way to heaven. It's faith in Him and Him alone, not baptism, not church, not good life. If you'll trust Him as your Savior, He'll come in, forgive your sins, take you to heaven one day, and give you that real treasure. We're rich. I hope you'll notice it this week.